Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We're here to talk about the Thunder. Bro, you were just telling me something right before we got on. Say it again.
Man, what did I say, bro?
All year, we were hoping to be in this position that we're in right now.
That's right.
Where we're playing
20 games left.
Going into April. Seven games left. Going into April. Now we're playing games that matter.
Yeah.
That can.
You're right, dude.
That can result in playoff wins against teams that want to play for the playoffs, that want to win games. We're playing basketball that's going to make a difference in these players' careers because this is important.
Yeah, and we want to make sure that everybody knows that, like, when we started the season, we said last 20 games of the season, we want to see this team playing playoff basketball. What that means is that an opportunity to make the playoffs. Right now, we're doing a great job. You're watching that separation starting to happen. And, you know, yes, Dallas is what's going on, but Mark even brought it up. Dallas has got so much shit going down. Plus, you got Luka having issues off the court. Things are not right in Dallas, giving us the up. We've got the tiebreaker against them. We've got all these great other things that are coming up right here that we're playing against teams that they're going to be set in their positions or trying to get out of the playoffs. I think four of them, the teams that we play, are teams that are out of playoff contention. Or three of them are out of playoff contention. One is the Jazz. And the Jazz, I'm still convinced they don't necessarily want to win. So, you know, I think we're sitting at a spot that this team can really do some great things. And I think we just have to really absorb it and not try to push the envelope on this player needs to do this or this player needs to do this. I think we just need to sit back and watch what these players can do individually and as a team and be able to watch which players step up right now. Because watching Isaiah Joe the other night step up when we needed him, that was fucking powerful. Watching J-Dub, watching Giddy, watching Shea every single night. You know, Dort coming out, making the stops and the two steals that he got last night at the end of the game, which I think one of them was gifted towards Shea, but the two steals that Dort was a big part of. Like, this is what's happening with this team. It's closing games out. Mm-hmm. And it might not be a pretty game, but guess what? We still got the fucking win against a team that was fighting for a win and hasn't played team basketball like that in probably a couple months, man. It was great. I was pumped. I get it. Not everybody's going to like the way that game went out the other day, but we closed the game out.
Yeah, it was, to me, I was very happy with the win, but I'm under, you know, the impression from having grown up in the early 90s of, you know, watching basketball, there's no such thing as an easy win. Like, I understand why you look at the roster and you're like, I don't know all these guys' names, and some of them have career highs against us in that game, but there's no easy wins, guys. So I don't understand the negativity that comes sometimes after these wins, but I'll tell you this right now. Like, there's a real surrounding of negativity right now in Dallas around the team because they're actually losing, right? And the team they just lost to twice was the Hornets. And that's who we got to play coming tomorrow. So anybody who thinks that there's an easy win, go ask Dallas about that, right? And anybody who thinks that we're going to be able to play like we did against the Trailblazers and beat the Hornets hasn't seen the Hornets play recently, and they're playing good right now. They're playing very good. So how do you stop a team that has momentum? The truth is you have to be able to win ugly games, and sometimes you're going to have to win high-powered, high-scoring games. There's two different types of games. Sometimes a game is a mixture of both. But in the end, that Trailblazers game, what we had to do is we had to absorb some punches, figure out what their strategy was, what players were playing well, you know, and who was going to go out there and really play well against us. And then as the game went on, even though we felt like it took too long, we increased the pressure. And the players that were putting up career highs were the ones who were missing shots at the end because we were playing outstanding team defense on them. We were gang rebounding the ball. It was a really impressive team effort, but we can't forget that a year ago we were in a spot where we weren't expected to beat the Blazers when they were playing a very similar lineup. Like, I was used to a lot of those guys because last year those guys, same guys, were playing a lot of minutes against us. They didn't play a lot during the regular season this year, but like, this is just how the NBA goes. And when these guys are out there playing, this is their chance to earn a contract to get noticed by other NBA executives. Like, they're going to play in a different way than somebody who's played 70 games and is kind of tired at this point.
That is it, man. And you see it there where our guys are getting tired. I mean, they've had a lot of games this month. A lot of games since the All-Star break even. And I think probably the most games since the All-Star break out of any of the teams. So, you know, you got to keep on looking at that and recognizing, yes, we're the youngest team, and yes, we're overcoming this. But, you know, the other night, last night's game, I keep going back to it. We were outshot by three-point percentage last night. We were outshot in field goal percentage last night. You know, we got 29 points off of turnovers, which really saved our asses, if you think about that. But that's what we do a lot. You know, we get a lot of 20-plus games or 20-plus points a game from turnovers. So to me, like, this is what we have to be able to lean on is our defense during these hard times. You know, like, we can start relating and grabbing the guys that off of the bench and saying, this guy needs to step up. This guy needs to play better. But the reality is that as that lineup shrinks on that bench and coach starts using less and less guys, our starters have got to step up, you know. And I will say this 100 times. I'm seeing a different player out of Josh Giddey right now. I'm seeing a different play, the way he's playing, out of Shea right now. I'm seeing a different style of play from Dort. The defense that he's playing is highest, it's the best as it's ever been. Like a high level right now, guys. You know, and I'm seeing J-Dub step up in ways that he's averaging 20-something points a game right now. Just, I mean, insane. Since, I don't know, I think the last 10 games or whatever, he's averaging near 20 points a game. So the things that are happening inside the locker room and happening on the floor right now are so positive. To me, there's nothing that's worth being negative about.
Right.
I don't want to sit here and I don't want to be like, you know, I want to see this player do this or I want to see this player do that, because the reality is that the good outshines all the negativity right now. And if we as fans just keep on going at that and making sure that the parents know the support and the players know the support by consistently talking positive things, because I guarantee you a lot of the people that out there that recognize that the Thunder players read what's happening, because they do, like every player does, they want to know what people are saying about them, and they're reading that, and it's going to bother them. It's going to bother them for people to go up and read some of the things that people are saying, because these players matter to us. These players are the heartbeat to our organization, and we cannot win a championship unless we have a player like Dort shutting down their best player on an ISO situation at the end of a game.
Yeah, and look, if you can have a game where Dort, who didn't shoot particularly well, goes on, or he shot poorly, let's just put it that way, but we go on to win the game because of defensive efforts, like, and then you say, well, what would have happened if he hadn't shot those shots? That's the wrong mentality. Like, we would have won the game by a lot more if he had made a few more of those shots. That's fine. I understand that. But he will make some of those shots. He does shoot well from the corner three. Like, his finishing inside the arc, yeah, that needs work, okay? But he's working on it. And his playmaking, when he gets to the hole, is improving. He's shooting less of the times he gets there, and he's surrounded by seven-footers. He's finding cutters and things like that. But I just want to go back to what you were saying about J-Dub and Giddey and Shea. Like, this whole, like, the really, we call it the three-headed monster at this point, right? Like, what they've been able to do is remarkable, because, and it's not just him. Like, there's always somebody else. Like, sometimes it's Wiggins, and last night it was Joe. But, like, they are finding ways to get role players who can step up and really, you know, help out. But that three-headed monster has become so consistent and so reliable. One of those guys might not have their best game. You know, one of those guys might not score a lot, but they're still all contributing rebounds and assists no matter what. Defense on steals and blocks no matter what. You know, then you add up the scoring, and Shea's automatic with his 30 plus, right? And Giddey's, you know, averaging probably like 15, 18 a night, you know, just every time. And then, like you mentioned, J-Dub is 20, but sometimes he's not there. But we're still finding ways to compete and finding ways to win. And when you look at the highest accomplishment, the greatest things that you can do in professional sports, and it's to be consistent. So be great and be consistent. If you can do those two things, then you have a chance to be one of the all-time greats. And that's what we're starting to see happen with this group.
Habits changeth a man. Just remember that, guys, because what's happening in Oklahoma City is redefining how young athletes are creating habits in their life. Professional habits truly mean just that. I mean, think about this. If how many guys in the NBA and NFL say that if they just stayed out of trouble, they would have got a max contract from a team? It happens all the fucking time. Why? Because habits changeth a man. And when you see these guys and they're out there hustling and they're out there putting their balls on the floor and saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this win. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this. I don't care if somebody that's 250 pounds and I'm only 6 foot, I'm going to take this charge. I don't care. because I want this win more than I want my balls right now. And that's it, bro. That's what we're talking about. This team has what it takes to win. And as you're starting to hear all these other noise around, like Jeff Van Gundy and all these other guys are stepping up saying Oklahoma City has a chance to win the first round of the playoffs and get to the second round of the playoffs and take the team they're playing to a 2-2 tie before they start losing that. Think about that, guys. That is powerful. That is other people that are professionals out in this world that believe in this Oklahoma City Thunder team. So why is it so hard for us as super fans, as fans, not to jump on and get excited like everybody else is? Put away all that bullshit, guys. It's the fucking team. This is our fucking temple. This is it.
That's it, baby. Check out our podcast about Josh Giddey's monster game and why everything is totally positive. And by the way, right there, everybody, baby. Free 7.